When it comes to ranking games, I'm always right. But when it comes to other important decisions, I don't always know what to do. So I try to live by a simple rule of thumb. When I'm not sure if I should be doing something, I consider what the world would be like if everyone did it. And if things would be worse, then I know that what I'm considering doing is, in fact, selfish. One of the things that I no longer do is skip boring elections. Not presidential elections, the other ones. State, local, and special elections. Almost everybody skips these, and as a result, only old people and hyper-partisan weirdos end up deciding who makes 90% of the rules that we all have to live by. Boring elections are how we get state and municipal lawmakers. These are the offices that end up deciding crucially important things, such as who gets to vote and who has access to healthcare. Boring elections are incredibly fast and easy to vote in, and because turnout is so low, your vote will have a huge impact. You'll be doing what's best for you and everyone else by going to vote411.org and finding out when the next boring election is and where you can vote in it. That's vote411.org. Tell them Xerxes sent you.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Tatanga, Cal and Bobinator, Ogre Hawk and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
Who the hell is Janine?
Okay, so the game we're talking about for this episode is Driver San Francisco, which was nominated by our guest for this, week, Yahtzee. This game was developed by Reflections, really, published by Ubisoft. The game I think we're all familiar with is the PC version. It was released September 1st, 2011 in Australia. That's the earliest release date. One of the few games we've done where the earliest release date is actually in Australia. Who's with me to discuss this one?
I'm Kyle.
I'm Shokum.
And I'm Yahtzee Crozier again.
Welcome back, and thank you. I believe this is your last ranking with us for the time being, but it was a blast, and we definitely did not record this one before the others.
No, so, of course not.
No, definitely
so
did not.
So we'll be making a lot of references to what we've said in the last, like,
absolutely. Listen carefully, kids. Because you will find references to the previous four episodes peppered throughout. No, you won't. Because yeah. All right. So this is a part of the Driver series, and
yes,
you really like this game, I think, right?
I really do. It's an interesting one. It's one of those games that really caught me off guard because I don't usually like driving games, but if it's a slow period because I write a weekly review, I have to play something. So I play whatever's come out and like. Maybe it'll be something that'll be weirdly appealing to me, even though it's from a genre I've never liked before. And this was one of those cases.
Yeah, it was either this or like Sudoku Picnic 4.
Yeah, exactly.
For Android, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised by
this on Sudoku Picnic 4, please.
I love those Sudoku games, and I want to make one called Sudoku Picnic because it's kind of like you can roll out the picnic mat, and it's got like a checker pattern, and it's perfect, right? This is a perfect analogy. It's a license to print money is what it is. So like this is it's not the first Driver game, but it doesn't also carry a numeral with it. Right. It's just Driver San Francisco.
I think. Yeah, it's a
standalone plot. And more to the point, it has a plot, which is probably unusual for a racing game.
But I was kind of surprised that it wasn't like a GTA type thing where you're like always hopping out of cars and like shoving old ladies into cable cars and yeah.
You're not shoving old ladies, but there is a bit of hopping going on. It has this very unique gameplay mechanic where you have the ability to take control of any car on the road. And they actually work that into the plot in a really in-depth way, because the main character, John Tanner, I think his name is a police detective who's in a coma, full-on singing detective style.
So and a ghost.
He's a ghost, and he has the ability to astrally project and possess any car on the road, and he uses this power to solve crimes. It's a very magical realism, American Sunday tea time police drama sort of.
It's like, what if it were like Steve McQueen in Bullet, except he were a ghost, like in Ghost Trick. It's interesting because I wonder whether they were, because I know that the developers were thinking like, you know what, it's been done, like the whole like jump out of the car and like go run to another car and do that. Like, let's go back to basics. And I wonder whether they were thinking like Avenging Spirit style. Anybody remember that game?
I think about Avenging Spirits all the time. It's a really good game, though. Like, it genuinely game, is.
If you're not sure what it is, it's a platformer where you play a dead gangster or the ghost of a dead gangster, like a 1930s style gangster, and you just kind of inhabit other bodies on the screen. So all the enemies, you can like possess them and control them, and you can be like kangaroos and stuff like that. It gets really weird.
I love this tag from like, you're a 1930s gangster and you can be kangaroos.
You can be a Dracula. Yeah, you can be a kangaroo. You can be a robot. Robots don't even have spirits.
No, you can become the robot. It's such a good game. But this is also a pretty good game.
Yeah, so like, what are the... We were talking about this when we were talking about Silent Hill, in a way, like we were talking, like having the argument, like should games have to be fun? Like, I think a driving game has to be fun.
Yeah,
like you can't have a serious driving game. Well, I mean, you can, but it's supposed to be fun. But I don't know whether they are.
Well, yeah, try to be serious, you get something like The Crew.
I just like that the name, like The Crew, is like, oh yeah, this is gonna be trash.
This makes it pretty relevant, actually, because I reviewed The Crew 2 fairly recently. And it stuck out at me that they suddenly dropped the idea of having a plot after The Crew 1 had a pretty in-depth one.
Yeah, plots are hard. You gotta hire somebody to write it. It's ridiculous. Like, why?
So the thing is, I think the Driver series is one that's really been trying to do plot in racing games. You look at the first one, it's interesting that after the failure of Driver 3, which is kind of like a shitty GTA clone with all the fun, you have this premise, and they really try to build a world and universe around it.
What astounds me is that they came in and they went, we're going to make a sequel to Driver, the game that bombed so hard. We're going to spend a huge amount of money on it. I was shocked because the production values in this are fantastic, and they've obviously put so much love into this game. And it's like, wow. And at this point, the Driver name was like garbage. Like, people were like, Driver's terrible.
Well,
I don't know if you can say that it was actually a big effort on the publisher side of things. I don't think Ubisoft went like, okay, yeah, sure, let's go all in. I just think credit should be given to Reflections, which is a studio that knows how to, like, really knows how to make a racing game.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about it is that the story runs through all of it, and the story plays up the interesting game mechanic, and the interesting game mechanic is actually fun and interesting and makes it completely unlike any other driving action game you'll find.
So I guess the obvious question here is, why do ghosts need to drive?
The game just like rolls with everything, right? It's just,
yeah,
like, I mean,
part of what I like about the game is that the main character just starts really enjoying his power. He becomes like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, where he just starts having fun with it. And you really sort of start to like the guy, even though he's generic white bread protagonist number 175,000,000,000.
What'd you say his name was? Like Dan Tanner?
Yeah, John Tanner. Some standard sort of thing.
So close. Sounds like two first names kind of protagonist.
It's really cool because you can be in a chase with a bad guy, and then you can turn things in your favor by possessing someone in the oncoming lane and just smashing the bad guy. And then it is zipping back to the car brilliant. He's supposed to be in.
Yeah, that's a really great concept of like, what do you do? Like, how do you get over, like, okay, we can't just exit the car. And it's boring to be stuck in the same car all the time.
Well, because they did two games where you were stuck in the same car, and they're very good. Both of the Driver games are really nice. So it's cool. I said both. I know I just skipped one, but whatever. But yeah, so then they, you know, obviously they went, okay, well, let's just, now you can be Olthakaz whenever you feel like it. It's like, cool. That sounds great. I like that the game pumps you straight into slow motion whenever you expel yourself from the vehicle. You know, there's very player friendly. It's just like, okay, everything's slow now so that you can nicely line up the, you know, your possession target. There's nothing, you know, it doesn't try and make that a test of reflexes. It's all about the driving. That's the challenge.
It's excellent game flow.
Yeah.
Is the term.
I love that the ejection from the car. It's just like, and then you're hovering, and then you can go into like super hover mode or whatever.
And that's quite different from Avenging Spirit, because in Avenging Spirit, like your health meter is actually just the amount of time that you have as a ghost. So when you die as one of the people you possess,
you have
like
to put
you've got like
money.
you've got to move your well, unless you're playing the Game Boy version, in which case it's just like, you know, a timer. But like you've got so much time to move to the next host to possess. And you'll die if you, like, run out of that ghost power. So, like, it becomes a really stressful thing, whereas I don't think this game is going for that.
No, it's just a relaxing, fun driving game that's also engaging and action-packed.
It's also very stressful
if
you
go
with your...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'd say it's very stressful because you can get, what's the name? Like, you can get chased by, like, 6 or 7 or 8 cops if you feel like it. Like, you get some really intense chases in this, too.
How funny will it be when they find out that, like, you're under arrest? Oh, my God, it's a ghost.
Well, that's
trying
like
to slap the cuffs on him. They just keep going through his wrist.
Well, that's the funny thing. Is like,
there are a couple of missions in that game where you just, the job was to possess a driver, get him in as much trouble as possibly can, and then leave.
Yeah, then you leave them, and they're just like, okay, well, good luck. Bye. And then the poor sap is like, what? What happened?
It's like you're like at the end of a stage or a scenario, you see like all the violations just like like so-and-so got like 40 points and lost his license and he lost his job because he couldn't drive to work.
Yeah, like it's literally
mission
like
accomplished.
You can just reminds me like
there's a side mission in that game where your job is literally to frighten a driving instructor. There's a driving instructor who's being a bit of an asshole, so you decide to frighten him.
I like how, like, obviously, because it's very, like, fun and lightweight, this one. You know, like, you can, like, smash into cars constantly, and the other passengers are like, oh, that'll be all right, that's fine. And, like, the front of the car is just in flames.
I mean, you're just creating more ghosts to help you, right? Like, you're creating, like, a ghost army to, like...
I really like the driver game's commitment to the, people don't actually die. I think that's, like, really, like,
yeah, it's classic.
Yeah.
Everyone gets out of the car just in time.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, that's nice. It's pleasant. Because obviously GTA is busy doing this, like, you just mow through all the pedestrians. This one, they're just like, whoa, near miss!
Crazy Taxi does that, right?
The strategic use of the mechanic of being a ghost and swapping between things, because I found it really interesting how, you know, you can use another car to help you in your current objective, and then jump back in your car, you know, and you block the guys and all that.
It reminds me of those jerks in PUBG who, like, just drive cars onto bridges and then blockade them that way. It's such a brilliant idea, but I hate them. I mean, if anything, like, what's great about this is that, I mean, well, not what's great. I would say, like, one of the problems is that, like, there aren't any other games that did this. Like, it's a great – what's great about the game is it should have resulted in a genre of, like, car possession games, I think. But
well, there's plenty of games where you can – possess anything, although the only one that springs to mind at the moment is Agony, which probably don't want to think about too much.
Yeah,
I mean, I think what part of the problem was that this game it uses a framing device which absolutely 100% works, but I think there's this temptation from other driving game makers, essentially, like, how do we make this fit in our game? How do we get this mechanic to make sense?
Well, that's
like, I know that's silly, like, they should just make the game, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the paradox of, like, not driving games, but car fetish games is basically what they are. It's like, the part of the appeal of the game to a certain part of its intended demographic is, you get to drive, like, a 68 Shelby Cobra, yeah! And it's like, it's just representing all these, like, car guy things that people like me don't care about. But
well, that's sort of the other thing, is that some of the actual driving in Driver San Francisco is a bit dodgy compared to serious driving games. There's a lot of rubber banding. It's rubber bandtastic.
And I remember discovering just rubber band into you the whole game. You never get away.
And I remember discovering to my disappointment that there's like invisible walls on both sides of all the roads that go all the way up to the top of the sky. So if you do like a like a stunt jump and you try to go off road over a road, you'll just smash into an invisible sky.
Yeah, that does take away some of the fun of just like, hey, you're in San Francisco, like the worst place to drive ever created by man. And you can't like, you know, just go nuts. But I mean, then again, like, but that's the thing. I think this kind of thing doesn't occur to people to make games like this because you're going to pay all this money to get like the licenses to put these cars in your game.
There are licensed cars in this one too.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
That costs money. A lot of money. And I mean, even like, you know, the Gran Turismo series, which is like, I guess it no longer is like the benchmark for that kind of thing. The car fetish game.
Is it Forza now? I'm sorry. We have literally no idea.
Okay. Yeah. But, I mean, I remember them having issues where like, oh, we can't have Ferrari because like Ferrari, gave an exclusive license to EA for the Need for Speed games or whatever it is, or Sega or whatever it was. And so like, that's a thing, but that's a part of the appeal of car games is because they appeal to car guys. It'd be like, if you had a car game that without real cars and without like somewhat realistic physics, you're making Crazy Taxi and it's like a whole nother thing. And there's also kind of some of the fun of the mayhem that you create in these games is like realistic cars and stuff like that. But, I don't know. I feel like that might be what's keeping this concept of the, possess 'em up, car genre down.
Well, it's such a unique feature. And as we said, so well justified by the plot. I guess it would be hard to do a car possession up game without everyone going, that's a Driver San Francisco ripoff.
I mean, but how many, like...
So what I find interesting here is that, like, what studios make racing games are ambitious now, right? There's, like, no one's going to try to make this game. They're just going to have their, like, generic formula.
I mean, that's basically, it's, to an extent, it's like the shmup problem. It is, and the fighting game problem to an extent. It's an issue where, you know, you have, and this is kind of, it was actually kind of touched on a little bit, but you've got this, genre, cars, car games, car racing. People are not necessarily going to buy into that if they're, oh, I like Assassin's Creed, or I like, you know, shooting things, or whatever. If you make a car game and make it for general audiences, are they actually going, getting them to buy in is really difficult, and so they don't, and then not enough people kind of play it to kind of justify making it to this level. Like, I think this game...
Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't have played this game if it wasn't my job to look for new games to play. And I did, and I was incredibly pleasantly surprised.
That is kind of like the best experience you can hope for at a certain point in your life. Like, like we're all old, and to varying degrees of old, but I think basically the same kind of old. And, like, you play a lot of games over your life, and at a certain point, like, a lot of the thrill is kind of gone. And, like, the real thrill for me now is heroin. No, I'm just no, it's smack. No, it's just like finding a game that looks like it's going to be terrible, and you're like, this is going to be terrible, but you got it for like a dollar, and then you play it, and you're like, actually, I love this game.
It
happens like once every 4 years, but that's
like literally the point of the show, to get people to throw games at us. Like, check this out, and very occasionally, it's like, oh, I would have literally never played this, but now it's my favorite game.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Cal, because I was starting to forget the point of the show.
this one, I actually really like this game. I did deliberately just mention Assassin's Creed because it's so interesting that this game is so clearly like a sandbox game cribbed from that exact kind of very Ubisoft style sandbox thing where you get to jump around, you go to all these different missions, you even buy garages to make money for no real reason, as far as
well, ghosts need money.
Yeah. Coma ghosts need money in their comas to buy new cars is the, that's the idea.
Right. He's in a coma. He's not just straight up dead.
You're a coma ghost. Yeah.
And the genre does have place to grow, you know, like you could just have like, oh no, you're just straight up dead and possessing cars.
The sequel is Tanner is dead and he's now actually a ghost in real life.
I thought the last time was weird, but this time is way weirder. All right, we got to rank this one. Where do we want to put it? The possess-em-up genre is sorely underrepresented in our list.
This is also an outstanding example.
Yeah, well, pretty high, I'd say.
I'm perfectly happy with that. I mean, You can get people, if you get people to buy into a driving game who don't play driving games and also still make it a fun driving game for people that like driving games, that's real rare.
And it's way more fun to drive cars in this one than it is, I'd say, in like most GTA games. Like, I don't find the driving the car part to be that much fun. Like, the launching the car off of things and into people, that's the fun part in those games. But like, actually controlling the cars is a chore.
Well, because you never completely confined to like pure realism with this particular game, so there's always this slight like, okay, well, I can try again, or I can jump to a different thing, or I can do something else, and it doesn't kind of feel as punishing, which is really good.
Do we have any other games on the list that had like a lot of promise as like a concept that just were never followed up on because nobody cared?
Lemmings.
No, Lemmings was followed up on by Lemmings 2 and other Lemmings
oh,
games.
Oh no, more Lemmings!
Ridiculous.
I mean, like, if we did, I mean, this would be higher than them, right? Because this does kind of hit its promise pretty hard.
Well, like, we got, like, Rampart. There's no real, like, Rampart-type game except for Rampart. But it also feels like that one was kind of pretty well, they did what they wanted to do.
I'm seeing you've got Quix, Q-I-X, on the list. I'm pretty sure that's its own thing.
Yeah, the only way to improve upon that one is to have, like, naked cartoon ladies behind the barrier. So that does rank pretty highly. That's the one thing you can think about to improve it. You've got a good formula.
I mean, yeah, like, I love Quix, but, you know, that was better than Quix.
What? Wait.
What?
Driver what? San Francisco is better than Kix?
Kix? Quix, that's how you say
whatever.
I think...
They're both correct, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think this one is really hard to not like.
I like it, but that doesn't mean it goes above Kix. Like, Kix is Kix, like I said. Like,
I don't think Kix is Kix is a very...
Well, I'm sold on that argument.
Exactly.
What does our guest think? He did nominate this one.
Well, I nominated it because I really like it, so I might be biased.
No, I think that's perfect. I think Xerxes really likes Kix for some reason.
If you're putting it above Kix, you're saying it's like, because we have like 350 games on this list at this point, give or take. Like, you're saying it's like in the top like 5-4% games.
Maybe.
Ever.
Maybe.
Sounds about right.
Like, you're not too far off from stuff like Earthbound.
Well, okay, here's the thing about this one, right? Like, this game, they made it, it came out, pretty much everyone liked it, and it was so good at what it did. Everyone else was like, all right, well, I'm not even touching that. Like, I'm not going to make the fake possess-em-up driver game. I can't do it. This is it. This is the end of the genre.
Which is stupid. I announce right now, like, after I make my first video game concept, which is the one where you fly a helicopter into a shopping mall, it would be a car-possessing game.
But that's it. Like, you know, this is so... Like, I mean, I... It's maddening, this game, right? Like, let's make a car-possessing game. Do you have any idea how crazy that just sounds to then do it, and it works this well?
Doesn't sound as crazy as Mallcopter, but yeah. No. Okay, can we put it... All right. We got Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Castlevania 4. Like, is there no love for games that did something that other games had done but just did it really well?
So Castlevania 4, I love that game to death, but it's just a very well executed Castlevania game.
I mean, Driver San Francisco throws out the genre conventions that the driving genre had adhered to since the beginning. I was just like, nah, forget that. We're doing something slightly different, and it's going to be way better. And then they did it.
It sounds like I got two votes for below Kix.
You just want to put it below Kix.
All right, fine. Look, I'm saying below Kix. Who says right above Kix, below Strider?
I would say that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one. That's two. Shoku, above or below Kix?
Above.
Okay, I'm outvoted. So that's where it goes. Driver, San Francisco goes below Strider and above Kix for some reason. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.